All right, 1 Corinthians 15. I want to talk to you about...
This is Barry Hampton.
I had a chance to listen to three preachers on the way down, and a couple things came in my mind. Actually, two were very frustrating. One was very good. But I want to take it kind of a different way than what he did. And it brought some thoughts to my mind. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. And we'll probably back up a little, but we're going to start there. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now, I want to talk to you about death. And I want to talk to you about death is on every man. The wages of sin is death. And the thing that this guy brought out so eloquently, I thought did a really good job on, although he didn't really divide. I was yelling at him on the radio, you did so good, why don't you just tell the whole truth? But he was talking about death, and he was talking about the law, and he was talking about grace. And if you think about everywhere outside of Romans through Philemon, just take Romans through Philemon for a minute out of the Bible. There it is, we've just ripped it out. There was nothing that humanly power could turn back the hands of time. It wouldn't matter back under the law how many sacrifices they made. Guess what was always on them? Death was just around the corner. There was no way they could make it beyond that. You all understand what I'm saying? They could try to keep the law, yet what happened to them? They kept getting older and older and older until what happened to them? They died. There is nothing, and you know, we talk about what is needed for life. Nothing in the law can give you life. That's why it's called the ministration of death. Look in 1 Corinthians. Hold on here. We're coming back. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stone... See, the ministration of death, there was nothing in the law that could give life. You could be the best person on... You know, I thought of my meeting with the Church of Christ person that came by the house, and he was very nice and very polite. But you know what? He's still getting old, and he thinks what he's doing is changing the course of what's going to happen to him. Are you listening to me? There are people that believe, hey, after you see the light or whatever you see, I don't know what that is, you know, you start living for the Lord, and that really, that will work away death, and that sin won't have its course with you. You know what? Sin's going to have the course with you whether you like it or not. Things you do can't remove the sin that you do and the sin that you are. You can't give up smoking and secure eternal life. You can't stop drinking and gain eternal life. But that's exactly what religion has been telling us. They're telling you that, hey, listen, if you'll give up and start living a life unto the Lord, a life away from sin, that you'll have life. That that's the way you get life. And you know what? That isn't true. That's the problem. And it's a problem with almost every religious system out there, is somehow they put human effort, law plus human effort. But it won't get away from death. Nothing humanly effort you could do. You could offer sacrifices. You could take animals and sacrifice them and shed the blood and claim that, but it's not going to take away the course of what is written upon you by what you are in Adam.
Amen.
See, quit cussing. You could clean up your life to the utmost, and death is still upon you. So, go to 1 John for a minute. Don't give me 4 hours in the morning thinking it could be dangerous. 1 John 5, verse 12. This is true in every dispensation. He that hath the Son hath what? So, all the way through human history, from eternity past all the way to eternity future, the only way in any dispensation, are you listening to me, to have life, you got to have the Son. Israel, yes, they had to do some things, but they could have done all those things, and without Jesus Christ, it would have been mute. It doesn't matter. I mean, the thing in 1 John 5, he that hath the Son hath life, the idea is, how do you get the Son? In each dispensation, how you gain the Son is different. That's different. But guess what you've got to have to put on immortality? All that are in Adam die. All that are in Christ shall be made alive. You know why? He that hath the Son hath life. He is life. Not your actions. Not your ability to eat right. You ever notice someone that eats right? I do a nutritional business, and so I'm out there talking to people, and I see people that eat phenomenally. You know what I still know? It's unbelievable. It doesn't matter what you do, but it is a matter of what he did. For he that hath the Son hath life. See, he's able to take the wages off of you and place it upon himself. And by you, by faith, seeing that, allows you to exterminate death in your life. Now listen, if you got Christ, you're never going to die. That's the hope. So why is it religion says what you need to do to get right with God is come down and repent, or live a certain way, or put down this at the altar? The question is, do you have the Son? Because he that hath the Son hath life. Look at this. Verse 12, there's another part of that. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Well, he didn't mention this verse, but he was talking about death and how Paul, if you compared everything that Paul did, he still had the ministration of death upon him. Look in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Basically, Paul's saying, look, I've got it covered. You can't do any more than I've done. Paul was the pinnacle of all the good works that you could pile up. Paul had studied at the feet of Gamaliel. Paul knew the law inside and out. He's telling you in Philippians 3, listen, I have reached the pinnacle of everything that you could do humanly that would be right in the eyes of man. If anybody think that he hath whereof, I more. I had it. I quit the smoking. I quit the drinking. I quit the cussing. I did everything that was humanly possible. Now think of what all the religion is telling us we need to do. And it wasn't enough to give him life. The pinnacle. He's saying, basically, he's challenging. He's saying there's nobody in this room, nobody hearing the tape this morning, nobody hearing the... I mean, nobody hearing anything can go beyond Paul's religious experience. And yet what he found wasn't life in that. What he found was condemnation and death. So people that tell you that you need to behave yourself as a Christian and you need to act a certain way because you are a Christian, they're all kidding you. There wasn't anybody that could have done any more than Paul. He said, I more. You know how I know that's true? You know how I know Paul was the pinnacle? Because God's Word said it and it's true. God would not have allowed him to say, I more, except that be true. I more. You don't even compare. And all those things, he's saying, all those things that you think you should have done, I already done. Man, I was circumcised the eighth day. I did. Well, look at the list. He says, circumcised the eighth day. Not every man in here could say that. Of the stock of Israel, I know that's not true, except maybe Jim. He said he had a little line of Jew in there, weren't you? And who else? There was someone else. But of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Hey, he knew the law as well as a man can know it. These people tell you to keep the commandments, don't even know the law.
Not just the ten, all points.
Absolutely. But I'll just take the ten. They don't even know the ten. People say, well, you need to quit sinning. Well, tell me what a sin is. Well, it's breaking the law. Well, tell me what the law is. Nothing humanly possible can you do that would ever eliminate the wages of death. The wages of that owe for sin, death. Nothing you can do can remove that. You can't stop smoking. You can't quit cussing. Nothing is going to remove that. And yes, you should do all those things. But just realize that no matter what the pinnacle is that you reach, death is the problem. And the reason you're dying isn't because of what you do. It's because of Adam. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, what? He's saying, I kept it as good as you can keep it. I did everything that they humanly told me to do. And I started thinking, that's why God set up Paul as an example for the church. There isn't... Paul was the I more. He had done everything to remove the sentence of death. He had done everything humanly possible. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. Why? Why do you think he did that?
So that
he would know the law. I mean, you've never had an opportunity to know the law the way Paul knew it. There isn't anybody in this room that could say, I more. The only person on the planet that could say that would be right for the body of Christ would have been Paul. So I look at people always on the treadmill trying to be Christians. Well, I got to work. Oh, a little faster. I got to go a little faster. And they're just on that wheel, thinking that they're resolving life's ills when what they need is the Son. Because he that hath the Son hath life. Not he that kept the law hath life. Hey, listen, if you could have kept it, then Paul had nothing of need of a Savior. If keeping the law could have brought about salvation, then Paul would have been saved. By the way, I might add, he probably would have been one of the onlys. But God used him as an example, because here's a man that is so studied in the law, so studied in the situation of human effort. Listen, it is not about human effort. By any human effort, can you eliminate what's happening? How many here has quit smoking at one time or the other? Are you older today than you were when you stopped? Didn't stop the death realm. How many here drank one time, quit drinking? Did it stop the death realm? Nothing you do. I mean, my grandmother was about as sweet as they possibly can come. Lived to 89 years old, sweet little old lady. We called her Mamie. But every year I looked at her, she got older. Death was written all over her. She didn't cuss. She didn't smoke. She hardly ever drank, except when Dad snuck a little into her eggnog. And she didn't know it was in there until she was like a little tipsy. And that was Dad's fault. She'd say that was the best eggnog she'd ever made. Praise God, that wild turkey really spices things up. Amen. Even the kids were starting to get buzzed. Where's that eggnog? What am I telling you? With all that, the sentence of death came upon her. We're all showing the signs of death. It's unescapable. And nothing in human effort, no facelift, no tummy tuck, will resolve the problem. What people are looking for in life, all these things, is they want to look young forever. Nobody likes growing old. It's a reminder of what we are. When we do a funeral, you know what the funeral reminds us of? An unescapable visit and a day out in the future for all of us. Funerals aren't to... I mean, we eulogize. You know what eulogy is, don't you? Say something good about the person that died. Well, you can't say nothing good about me. To get to church, I had to go 85 to 95 miles an hour all the way down. Now, was that godly? I didn't justify it, but I was going to church. I had my speech ready in case that cop got me. I'm late for church. I would never speed for myself, but I'm speeding for Jesus. I had it all planned. Yeah, I was going over it. When I hit that 100 mile an hour mark, I was like, Lord help me, I'm going to go to hell if I get caught. No. Yeah, it became exceedingly sinful above 100. You know? It was like, oh my, Lord help me. I am so evil. No. Why? The law condemns. And Terry and I were talking about the other day, you know, you don't feel guilty until you start breaking the law. Then you start looking for the cops. You know, while you're driving. Have you ever noticed that? You stay inside the law, no problem. As soon as you get up around 100 miles an hour, you're like this. Looking for the helicopter every now and then. That's why I have a sunroof. It isn't to be cool. I'm that already. It's for the helicopters. You all understand? Why do we feel guilty? Because we know we don't measure up. And see, the problem is we're trying to find life in the things that we do, in exercise, in diet, in keeping the law and not smoking. We're trying to find life in that. And that's not where the life is found. The only place you can find the life is in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nobody else that can... Death is written upon it. I don't care if it's Charlie Bug or Seth or who it is. If they're human, it's Seth. Their days are numbered, the Lord said. And the only way to escape this and put on immortality is to have a Savior. You all understand what I'm saying? Paul did everything. And look what he said about all that. Go back to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Why? Verse 9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, and was incapable of giving life, which was by human effort. Amen? So what is it in human effort in Christianity? This guy told me you had to be baptized and live a righteous life.
Die.
That's the only effort that you got is death.
No, I'm saying that would be the righteousness to do it under God.
Yeah, but hold on. That still wouldn't give you life without Christ.
Amen.
Even Peter, are you listening to me, needed the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. They needed Christ. Christ was the key. Christ was the evidence. Christ was the cause. Christ, Christ, Christ. Who gives life? Christ. So, you know, the idea of death, death is, you know, so they tell you, hey, lay down the cigarettes, lay down the alcohol, lay down, all of that is good and well, but it won't give you the thing you're looking for, and that is life. Verse 9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. For what reason would we want that? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the power over death. I mean, the whole idea, if you want life, you can't find life in the things you do. I don't care if it's baptism, walking out, keeping the commandments, doing anything, you can't find life there. Life isn't there. So religion is telling you, hey, repent of your sins. Repenting of your sins will not give you life.
Amen.
For he that hath the Son hath life. So the question comes is, when did you receive the Son for your life? Comes the question is, when did you gain life? Say, well, I repented. Well, that wouldn't give you life. That's impossible of giving you life. Say, well, I joined the church. That can't give you life. That's human effort. Say, well, I was baptized. Can't give you life. There's people that get baptized all the time, lost. I'm just going to try a couple things. Stan, did you ever get baptized? Were you lost or saved? Larry, did you ever get baptized? Terry, were you lost or saved? Were you lost or saved? See, I'm to the conclusion that most people that get baptized are
lost.
And they think because of this human effort, they think because they're doing something that God's going to go, oh, that cute little boy, I'm going to save him. Or that little charming little sweet thing, I'm going to save him. Glory, did you ever get baptized? Lost or saved? Jim? Matt? Shirley? You didn't get baptized, I know that.
I did, and I was 13. And
lost as a ball in high weed. Miss Holloway, did you ever get baptized? Lost or saved? Now, isn't that kind of weird? You see a little like problem there? Should I keep going? Mary, did you ever get baptized? Lost or saved? Emerson, when you got baptized, lost or saved? William? John, did you ever get baptized? Were you lost or saved at the time? You see, that's not that, you know, we've all done the human effort because we thought that's what it took to gain what? Life, to please God, and that would somehow weigh us out and that God would somehow be impressed with us. What I'm telling you is that we were missing the basic element of what we needed. We needed the cross. But they say what you want to do is get baptized after you get saved, right? That's a testimony of your salvation, right? But hold it, all of y'all were lost. So what was it you were equating to some human effort that made you feel saved? And I guarantee you it was either repentance, confession, clearing of the conscience. We all did that, amen? Lost. Trying to figure it out. I like what John said. Had lots of questions. Hey, that's the right way to be, but hey, why am I doing this? Well, it sounds like that's what everybody does. It's the Christian thing to do. Well, the Christian thing is, first, become a Christian. How do you do that? See yourself lost and death written all over you, and then find the Son. For he that hath the Son hath life. And it doesn't matter if you're in the dispensation of the law. Even Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Listen, there was no way of taking that sentence of death completely off without the Son being in place in any dispensation. He is the rock. He is the life flow of life. He is the thing that is life. People say all the time, I want life. I love that thing that says, got Jesus? That's really the only question. It isn't, got baptized? Kept the law? How many of you have seen these Ten Commandments stickers everywhere? Those people, in their mind, think because they're doing that, they're becoming righteous. You know that, don't you? You know how you know that? You thought at one time that you were becoming godly by doing these means of human effort. Amen? Everyone in here. And I don't care what denomination, because if we'd have gone down through that, everybody just about got baptized lost except Mary. Every one of you. And I know that in your mind somewhere that you thought that the law had something to do with it. It was in your mind. You didn't think, well, I've got Jesus, I'm at home base. Because if you'd have thought that, you'd have been saved. You didn't think, well, I've got a Savior, I don't have to worry about all this. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You know what? You can sing the song, Jesus paid it all. I mean, come on, did He? Yes. And so death is an element that no human effort can remove. You can't remove death off of you. But you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have it removed. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't it fascinating that in Romans chapter... Well, turn there. Notice it did not say, whosoever calls upon the name, lives a good life, and gets baptized will be saved. Romans 10, verse 13. See, so my question to you today is, what thing are you doing that you can remove death from you? And the answer is, you can't remove death from you. But Christ can become your death for you, and therefore remove it. How would you do that? By faith. We've got some great news here at the end. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What did He say? Why would you call? Your recognition in your life that death is all over you. So I didn't really believe that I was just going to drop off and go to hell. Before I got saved, I was scared to death that the rapture might happen and that I would go to hell. Or that I would drive home. I remember Jerry Sanders' testimony when he was a young boy. He got so scared. And he didn't get saved until later, but he got so scared that he was afraid to ride his motorcycle home. Afraid he might wreck. When you get that lost, you can get saved. Because you realize, I thought about Terry. And how many's been in a near-death situation? Anybody here? William, you have? Anyone else? You have? You realize you can't save yourself. Terry's lost, run over by a semi, and he's crying out, Lord, don't let me die, in his mind. Isn't that what you told me? He's like, Lord, do something. I can't. The Lord, I need you. Well, that's kind of how it is when you finally get saved. But you got to realize He's not just saving your physical life, but your spiritual life, your soul. I remember flying the airplane, and back then we had to learn spins to get our license. And so I was in a spin with my instructor. And, you know, you step on the left pedal and you yank back on the yoke, and buddy, that plane goes, whoa, and it just starts tumbling out of the sky. And the thing that you have to do is push the yoke forward. But you're heading toward the ground, so the natural tendency is to what? To get the nose go up. But you got to force yourself to push down. And so I would say, oh God! Yank back, put it back into a tighter spin. He said, no, push it forward. Oh, poopy! You got to leave it down there. And the adrenaline's pumping, so he can't fight me. I mean, I'm like pulling on this thing for dear life. And he can't get control of the plane. And we're falling from 3,500 feet. We're like this. And I'm like... I'm dizzy now. Well, it kind of feels like I'm really there now. And he said, let go. And for me to live, I had to let go. Because that was the problem with the plane not flying. I fell from 3,500 feet to 500. And if you've ever fallen that far, just like a rock in a plane, your heart will be pumping. His was pumping, and he's been flying for 30 years. And I let go, and that thing neutralized right above the treetops. And he said, we almost died. I finished up with not, oh God, but oh poopy. And knock him out. Let go! Now! It was pretty... Because he was yelling at me, but I'm confused, you know. I'm falling out of the sky. Everything's turning... It's supposed to be blue, but now it's getting more green in the window. And I know things are bad now. altimeter is just ripping off, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is just like in the movies. It was funny, though. Right before I let go, I said, into my hands I commend my spirit. That was all I could think of. You know why? I knew there was nothing I could do anything. That's salvation. As long as you think there's a human effort involved in it, I can tell you the problem is you're lost. If you still in your mind somewhere conceive that it's your charming personality or something good that you've done, you're still lost, you know? Because lostness is when you get to the point that no human effort, and the reason I use that airplane, I think it's a great example, isn't it? The law was working against me. It was called the law of gravity. And it wouldn't matter how much I had done it. Gravity didn't care. You understand? Gravity doesn't have it has no way of caring. The laws of God have no way of caring. It is what it is. So everybody tries to keep their life. They try to quit. Hey, they try not to take the Lord's name in vain. Amen? How many of you think it's good to take the Lord's name in vain? Nobody here. That's the second commandment. Doesn't anybody know the first commandment? That's right. So the second one is what? What's the third one? No graven images. Actually, I think that's two and the other one's three. What's number four? Yeah, it is. It's the fourth one. Verse 6. Here's the thing. Why, it looks good not to cuss, but how about not showing up on Sunday? Yikes! Amen? We'd all be going to hell. Human effort can't do it. I mean, think about it for just a minute. Can you imagine believing in the laws of God that you're going to be pleasing to God and you don't show up on Sunday? He said to work 6 days, and on the seventh day, make it holy. And you know what? It wasn't just a few of your kids. It's all your children, all your manservants, your maidservants. I've never had a manservant, but one day when I get wealthy enough, I'm going to hire me a Japanese guy to do my yard. They can make gardens like you won't believe.
Well, would they have been in the synagogue on the Sabbath
day? Yeah, but they would have worked at home too. But the point that I want you to understand, it was a 24-hour period. So what's happened in the world is somehow we've modified what really is bringing about death. I was watching the movie Will and Grace, and I won't keep you much longer. Has anybody seen the show Will and Grace? Why are we celebrating homosexuality? Is that cute? Hi. Oh, that would look cute on me. Not really. We're making sin common. Why? So we don't feel the sentence of death. If we ever really felt that sentence of death upon us, guess what? We'd be hunting out the Lord to bring about salvation. Yeah, isn't that ridiculous? Who's Jane Pauley? No, I'm just kidding. Listen, I mean the Fab Four or Five, now it's the Fab Five, the queer eyes for this. That sounds weird. That sounds kinky.
It's just the eye.
We want to look like the queer? You see, all of this stuff, by human effort, we would come up short. But let me tell you what the world needs. The world doesn't need any more laws. The world needs to see itself guilty and go to the thing that can give life and flow of life, the fountain that's deep and wide that poured from Emmanuel's vein. That's what we need. For he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. He has death. And it's everlasting separation from Almighty God. That's what we're talking about. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? So there is. And when you hear people tell you to repent, just know that can't get you there. When people tell you what you need to do is keep the law, it can't get you there. Paul had already tried. Paul said, I more. You think you have something right? I more. And the thing he found out on the road to Damascus was he needed a Savior. All that stuff that he had wasn't good enough to take the sentence of death off. All right, now you be quiet over there, grandbaby. All right, y'all take a break.